You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7. ESPN.
Dancing queen, that is me. Who's dancing now? NC State is dancing, that's for sure. Creighton after double overtime against Oregon. That may have just saved my bracket. We'll see. We'll see. I've got Creighton in my final four. Who else is dancing? Today is going to be fun. Anita Marks with you here on 98.7 ESPN. It is a Sunday fun day. It was off yesterday because the Knicks played in the afternoon and, of course, beat the Nets for the third time this season. 3-0 against the Nets, beat them 105-93. So we'll get into some Knicks talk. We got Moke Hamilton. We got, by the way, we've got a jam-packed, we got a lot of guests today, more than the average bear. Usually we have about three guests to show. Today we've got several. So we're going to hear from Moke Hamilton coming your way in about 27 minutes. We'll dive into that Knicks team. Some talk and speculation that Mitch Robinson is going to be back soon. What is the latest with Julius Randle? No, he's not going to be 100% probably throughout the remainder of the season, even into the postseason. But at what point in time are the Knicks medical staff going to say, okay, let's give it a go? So we'll touch base with Moke. We'll take a look at the schedule. 12 games remaining as the Knicks now bump back up. I think this is going to be a bumpy ride in regard to, are they the fourth seed? Are they the fifth seed? Can they jump up above Cleveland for the third seed? By the way, Cleveland taking on the Miami Heat later on tonight at 6 o'clock. Obviously, you want to be rooting for the Heat. The Bucks sitting at the two seed. The Knicks 3 games back to them. So this is going to be a bumpy ride. Obviously, the goal is to end the regular season as the two seed so you can avoid Boston until the Eastern Conference Championship, of course, if the Knicks make it that far. So we'll dive into some Knicks talk with Moke Hamilton. Excited to get him on the show. Did not have Joe Wiz on the show yesterday, so of course, we bring him back today. We'll talk to him at 10 o'clock. And you ready for some March Madness? And it has been maddening, that is for sure. So we'll get you locked and loaded for this afternoon's games. I'm sure he'll have some NBA games on tap for you as well. I thought it'd be good to have Stefania Bell join us on the show because, you know, and by the way, I always like to introduce who was producing the show because I like for them to be a part of the show always. And that is Harvey and Joe are producing the show today. Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. So I wanted to book Stefania Bell. So here's the thing. I wanted to book Stefania Bell because the Jets signing Mike Williams, I thought it'd be great to get her on just to give us an update in regard to his injuries, his surgery, his progress. What can Jets fans realistically expect from him this season? And then, of course, she texted me back and said, well, is there anything else or anyone else you want to talk about in regard to injuries? And I was like, oh, well, yeah, hey, How about we talk about the Knicks and Julius Randle and OG? And oh, by the way, can we talk about Gerrit Cole? And oh, by the way, like, I started realizing, like, as a whole, here in New York and New Jersey, like, it's an infirmary and some important players, right? Like Daniel Jones as well. I felt like I booked her to come on and to talk about Mike Williams and, of course, give us an update in regards to Aaron Rodgers. And then it was like, oh, wait, but how about this guy? And how about this guy? And how about this guy? And how about this guy? It was kind of like a realization, like, wow, there's a lot of injured players here in the tri-state area. No?
If it was a doctor's office, we'd be taking no more appointments. We'd be full. Because there's no more room. There's no more room in the waiting room. There's too many seats are filled with guys waiting for x-rays and MRIs.
So Stefania Bell is going to join us at 10:30 this morning. Excited to get her on, and I'm sure it could be very informative for Jets fans in regard to what can they realistically expect from Mike Williams. Hopefully it's a positive report. We're going to hear from Cynthia Freeland. As always, You know, I know that NFL free agency is kind of taking a back burner because everything that's going on with March Madness, and we are in the thick of it, obviously, the second part of the second round. You know, there are there is news out there. Curious to get her thoughts in regard to the signing with Mike Williams and also just doing a recap with her in regard to, you know, the teams out there and who made some noise in free agency. What team does she feel improved the most in free agency? And of course, you know, we're a month away from the NFL draft, and there's so much news out there pertaining to these quarterbacks. If you do listen to me on a regular basis, you know how I feel. I think Drake May is the best quarterback in this draft. I would not take Caleb Williams. Obviously, he's favored to go number one overall. So will the Bears take him? I think he's a better fit in Washington with Kingsbury there as their OC, but only time will tell. So we'll dive into all that with Cynthia Freeland and Dallin Cuff. You see him all over our ESPN platform, again, because we are in the thick of March Madness. So he's going to be joining us at 11:30. So as you can see, a jam-packed show today, a lot of guests, a lot of moving parts, a lot of topics we're going to hit on. One of the biggest stories in sport is what's going on with Ohtani. And I do want to dive into that. I think it's an interesting storyline. We've got to be really, really careful in regard to how we present it, because we don't want to assume anything, because we know what happens when we assume. And we want to be very, very careful here. We will dive into this. I think what's really interesting here is the timeline of how this all unfolded and what was said in that timeline and how things changed in that timeline. For me, where there's smoke, there's fire. I think there's a lot of smoke here. And what makes this story even more so interesting is, let's be honest, Ohtani is the face of Major League Baseball, signing, of course, that $700 million deal with the Dodgers. And, this is just the tip of the iceberg. This is just the beginning. Major League Baseball have embarked on an investigation here. What will be revealed? Only time will tell. I think there's a conflict of interest for Major League Baseball because it is Ohtani. You know, it's not a second tier player. It's your player. It's the player. It's the face of Major League Baseball. So a lot to dive into there as well. Before we started the show, Joe asked me, how's my bracket? So a number of us at ESPN had to submit a bracket for their bracket challenge. And so my bracket is public. So full transparency always, whether my bracket was public or not, I'm always very honest. It's a poop show, my bracket, Joe. It really is. And here's why. This is the one year that I did not go chalk in regard to the first and second rounds. Like, this is the one year that I really went out on a limb. So, for example, in the East, I did have Duquesne beating BYU, but I had Drake. I had Drake beating Washington State. I had Drake beating Iowa State. I had Drake beating Illinois and making it to the Elite Eight to go up against UConn. Now I have UConn advancing to the Final Four, but I really was a big believer in Drake. And I thought that they would make a Cinderella run at least to the Elite Eight. So that screwed me there, right? Majority of people had Illinois and Iowa State. That's the 1 and 2 seed. So majority of people did go chalk. I didn't have Yale. In fact, I had Auburn advancing, going up against UConn. I know there was a lot of people who had Auburn upsetting UConn. Again, I do not. I have UConn representing the Final Four out of the East. But so in the East, what really screwed me was Drake. Because Harvey, I would include you in this conversation, but you've already established that you have no time and you think that a college basketball bracket for March Madness is just dumb and ridiculous. So I don't mean to leave you out of the conversation, but obviously you have no dog in this fight. No pun intended, right?
No, yeah, everything you said was correct. Waste of time. Silly. Boring.
Okay, so Joe, let's go back to you. Out of the East, who do you have in your Final Four, and how does your East bracket look right now?
My East bracket's actually kind of okay. I still have UConn. I have Illinois going far. So my Elite Eight out of that was Iowa State and UConn, so I'm fine there.
Yeah, a lot of people had that. Again, I was just higher on Drake. Did you have Duquesne beating BYU?
No.
Tell me you had Yale upsetting Auburn.
No, I didn't have Yale. I looked at Yale because of how volatile the Auburn schedule was, because up until about 2 weeks ago, they played like 3 weeks straight and didn't have more than like a two-day break for 3 weeks, which is very, very weird that time of year for conference play. But I did have Illinois beating BYU, so I didn't have BYU going that far. But my East, the bracket or the region that really screwed me was the West. I had New Mexico going far because I liked Baby Patino and his group. The one that I'm kicking myself over is, and I'll switch brackets again and go up to the
No. Let's stay in the West.
All right.
I want to do bracket by bracket.
All right.
Okay, so you just mentioned the West, so let's move to the West. I have UNC representing the West in the Final Four. I did have Michigan State. I did have Grand Canyon, so I feel good about that.
You were the only one on the Lopes. Only one on the Antelopes.
No, I'm not.
Grand Canyon?
I had Grand Canyon, yes. So I'm proud. Listen, I feel like very few people had Duquesne. I feel proud about my Duquesne pick. I feel proud about my Grand Canyon pick, yes. But like you, I had New Mexico. I had New Mexico upsetting Baylor. I had New Mexico upsetting Arizona and facing UNC in the Elite Eight. So that screwed me there. Also, I had Nevada over Dayton. But Arizona now has advanced. I think Baylor wins today against Clemson. I think Alabama takes care of Grand Canyon. Again, Alabama and UNC is going to be really a fun match to watch. But I do have UNC advancing. You have UNC advancing to the Final Four out of the West?
Yes, I did. Like you, I had New Mexico going to the Elite Eight out of there as well.
Yep. So New Mexico screwed me in the West. Drake screwed me in the East. Let's take a look at what's going on in the South. Now, I have Houston advancing to the Final Four, and I'll just fast forward. I've got Houston winning this entire bad boy. I did have Nebraska advancing over Texas A&M. That didn't work for me. Love James Madison. I have James Madison upsetting Duke later on today. Not sure if you do. NC State, I had Texas Tech coming out. I thought NC State had no more gas in their tank, but boy, am I wrong. So now that they've advanced to the Sweet 16, and they're waiting for the winner of Colorado and Marquette. Now, I did have Colorado beating Florida, so kudos there. I do have Marquette advancing. So I've got Marquette and Houston in the Elite Eight and Houston making out of the Final Four. What does your South look like?
I have the same Elite Eight, but the one that I'm kicking myself over, because I had Kentucky going to the final in another one of my brackets.
Ooh.
I really undervalued NC State, and I watched NC State, mm-hmm. and I loved the way that they played in the ACC tournament, because this is not your father's ACC anymore, with Duke and UNC as real powerhouses, even though I think UNC is a very, very good team in this bracket that we're going over. I have them going to the final. But NC State and their run, I should have seen this coming, and I'm kicking myself, and I need to make a mental note of next year. A team that I pay close attention to when it comes down to conference tournament time, I need to ride them and just not say, that was a fun run. They might win one or two games in the tournament. If it's a major conference like the ACC, I need to ride that momentum, because they've won like 9 in a row.
Yeah, it's really remarkable. They're the darlings right now of this tournament, and shame on me, shame on you for doubting them. But again, I thought they just didn't have a lot of gas left in that tank. That's why I took Texas Tech to advance. But nonetheless, again, winner of Colorado and Marquette will take on NC State. I have Marquette advancing. Hopefully I gain some more points in that regard. And then last but not least, in the Midwest, I did have Utah State. I'm sure everybody and their grandmother took Purdue. And here's where what screwed me in the Midwest, McNeese State. I had McNeese State going all the way to the Sweet 16 and taking on Purdue.
You were drinking the Woolway Kool-Aid, weren't you?
I was. And so, you know, the fact that Gonzaga now is waiting for the winner of Purdue and Utah State, which, by the way, I don't think that's going to be an easy game for Purdue. Watch out for Utah State. This team is extremely good. I did have Oregon. I did have Creighton, obviously, Texas and Tennessee. I did have Tennessee coming out, beating Texas. I know that was kind of 50-50 across the nation, so I was on the right side there. And thank God, last night, if you didn't stay up, boy, it was a good one. Double overtime for Oregon and Creighton. Creighton advances. And that very well might have saved, that game very well might have saved my bracket. So I've got Creighton going up against Purdue in the Elite Eight and advancing. So chalk in regards to the Final Four with UConn, UNC, Houston, but going with the third seed Creighton to represent the Final Four, Houston going up against UConn for the championship and Houston winning. Who's your championship? Who's your winner?
For this one, I have Houston over UNC, but my upset pick is actually Gonzaga over Purdue when they get to the Sweet 16. And I love Creighton. And that last night in Oregon won, that would have, no shocker, busted a bunch of people's brackets. But I think a game like that could give a Creighton team like this confidence to go win the whole damn thing. Because you don't win that game, experience that two overtime battle, and go up against a team like Tennessee and not bring your all. There's going to be one team in the Sweet 16 that was just a bulldozer this weekend that's going to underperform, but I don't think it's going to be Creighton.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people do have Creighton in their Final Four. Obviously, many people have Purdue. A lot of people have Tennessee. Because I feel that the Midwest was a pretty difficult bracket to handicap. So McNeese killed me in the Midwest. Drake killed me in the East, and New Mexico killed me in the West. I still have James Madison. Like I said, I've got James Madison upsetting Duke later on this afternoon. But again, we've got Joe Wiz, who's going to be joining us a little bit later at 10 a.m. We'll dive into all these, give you some picks, hopefully give you some winners. Quick break, we come back. Let's talk about those Knicks. As again, yesterday afternoon, they took care of the Nets, 105-93. Some big storylines here to dive into is there's 12 games remaining. Obviously, health, a big issue. What happens when these guys get healthy? Like, for example, Mitch Robinson, should he come back and start over Hartenstein? I know Tibbs came out and said Hartenstein will continue to start. Mitch Rob will come off the bench. Man, how deep, how solid, how good does that make this Knicks team? Pretty damn good.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
You know, at the end of the day, is Mitch Robinson better than Hartenstein? Yes, but he's been inactive for so long, and Hartenstein has stepped up. In fact, 17 points yesterday, along with Brunson, the big Ragu with 31 points, Josh Hart with 13. Guys, hands down, Josh Hart's got to be my favorite Nick. Who's your favorite Nick?
Nobody, because I'm a Net fan. But if I had to pick one, I respect Brunson and his game and his star power the most. But that's cheesy, but I'm a Net fan, so I don't like anybody on that team.
Harvey?
It's only Brunson for me. The man's a baller, can handle, can make plays, gives you 40 on a night if he wants to. He's a baller.
Have you guys listened to their podcast, The Roommate Show?
Clips of it here and there. I got to check out the Randall one for me is interesting because more so in the fan perspective of how that's received more than what he actually says.
So very interesting. So for folks who might not know, Julius Randle and Josh Hart have a podcast out. It's called The Roommate Show. They did just recently had Julius Randle on it. Here's a quote from him. I wanted to win here. He's talking about the Knicks. I felt like this ain't a shot at nobody, but New York was looked at like a place that nobody wanted to come to. I kind of felt like it was the Kobe spirit mama mentality in me. Like, man, let me take on this challenge. It's easy to play for the money, but for me, it was more about legacy. If I'm done playing, how do I want to look back on my career? Did I challenge myself? Did I push myself? And for me, everything I wanted to envision happening is here now. We still not there, but you know, we on the way. So again, Julius Randle said this on The Roommate Show. It's the podcast with Josh Hart and Brunson. So definitely worth a listen to. That's for sure. Obviously the thing that stands out, right, is nobody wanted to come here. So this Knicks team beats Joe's Nets for the third time this season. So 3-0 against this Nets team. Pretty much they've lost six straight. The Nets have what's the phrase? They're done.
Stick a fork in them. They're done.
There you go. Thank you, Harvey. Apologize. I haven't finished my first cup of coffee this morning. So how does this East look? Well, the Boston Celtics right now, 57-14. They've got 11.5 game lead up on the Milwaukee Bucks. Again, 12 games remaining for the remainder of the season. Here's where that's a positive. Looking at the 12 games remaining for the Knicks, they take on Boston April 11th. At that point in time, is Boston going to be utilizing a lot of load management to get them ready for the postseason? I believe they will. This is a Knicks team. They're one back to Cleveland. They're three back to the Bucks. They're sitting at the second seed. Orlando's a half a game back. So Monday they're going up against Detroit. That's a win, let's be honest. Then some tough games. The Thunder here in New York, Sacramento on April 4th. Sacramento, you know, trying to get out of that play-in scenario in the West. They've got three games against the Bulls. Again, they're in that play-in situation, so they're going to be bringing their best effort forward. And then a really interesting game against the Bucks in Milwaukee. I think that's going to be that might be the most important game on the schedule still remaining for this Knicks team. Again, the goal right now to move up and to try to get that two seed. So OG is out with the elbow. Julius Randle still out with the shoulder. Reports are that he wants to come in and play. Reports are he wants to ball, but he's not 100%. Reports are he's not going to be 100% for the remainder of the season. And at what point in time is this medical staff for the Knicks going to say, okay, he hasn't even started contact yet in practice, which is a real big key. Mitch Robinson expected back soon, hopefully before the end of the month. That's going to be crucial. So we'll see what happens there. Let's go to Manny in Flushing. Manny, welcome in. Good morning.
Good morning, Anita. How you doing?
Great. Thank you.
Good, man. Appreciate the love. Listen, look, I watched the game last night. By the way, shout out to Patrick Ewing, who was in that game. I thought it was sweet for him to come and talk to MSG to reminisce those days. I even mentioned about Jalen Brunson, because I remember he mentioned about a picture of him when he was in diapers with his daughter. I mean, that was cool. But I think this is the first time, and I think since the early 2010s, that the Knicks have back-to-back winning seasons, which is amazing to say the least, because like the last nearly, like I would say, from 2014 to 2020, it's nothing but dysfunctional. I just read this article at the New York Daily News. Shout out to him. I think his name is Christian Rinfield. And forgive me if I pronounce his name.
Yes, we have him on the show on occasion. Yes.
Yes. He wrote about how, you know, 4 years ago that the Nets have a better culture than the Knicks. Now, flash forward to 2024, is the Knicks to turn the table to have a better culture than Brooklyn? Whoever thought that? And, you know, because at that time, the Nets had Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, and the Knicks, unfortunately, it was right before the Knicks hired Thibs and Leon Rose. I mean, it's amazing how 4 years have changed.
Yes, for sure. Thanks for the phone call, Manny. Appreciate it. By the way, reports are that Thibs is in contract talks for an extension. Keep in mind, this is his fourth season. 167 wins, 139 losses.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's welcome in Moke Hamilton, who always joins us each and every week, talking some NBA. Moke, how you doing?
Doing well, doing well. I hope you and yours are doing well as well. You got a bunch of as well there in the same sentence, but it's early. You know, I'm only on my first cup of coffee, Anita.
I feel you. Let's dive right into it. Yesterday, the Knicks took on the Nets. Nice little matinee for Knicks fans. Beat them 105-93, but the Nets, they've lost six straight. The Knicks pretty much own them this season. Sorry, Joe. 3-0 on the season. I feel like Brunson, I say quote unquote, only 17 points, but, you know, DiVincenzo, AKA the Big Ragu, steps up, puts up 31 points. Josh Hart, to me, has just been unbelievable. 13 rebounds. He's averaging over 40 minutes a game. And oh, by the way, also, I found out he auditioned to be a Peloton instructor online.
Mm.
Did you see that audition for him? Did you see his audition reel? It's out there.
Very interesting stuff, right? Very interesting stuff. He's like, especially with the podcast now, we're kind of getting to see a little of his personality. He's like the gift that keeps giving. You know, you wouldn't know all these things about him, but that's part of being in New York. You know, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. So again, what Moke's talking about, and I referred to it just a second ago, both Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart have a podcast out. It's called The Roommate Show. They just had Julius Randle on, by the way. And let's start right there. Julius Randle dealing with a shoulder issue. I know we had you on last week and we were talking about it. You were like, not really feeling too confident about Julius Randle returning anytime soon, let alone when he does return. Will he be 100%? And everything that I'm reading this week is shady in that regard, right? Like, he wants to come back and play. He's not 100%. Will the medical staff allow him? He still hasn't taken contact yet. What can you tell us about Julius Randle?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the same, Anita. You know, the organization has been somewhat tight-lipped about what the expectations are for him. And I think part of the reason why is because at this point, there might not be any expectations, you know. Coach Thibodeau, you know, he kind of spoke on it a little bit fairly recently, and he kind of just admitted that they're really sort of in a wait and see mode with Randle. You know, it's like they work out with him on the floor. They, give him some controlled contact, and then they see how he reacts to it and how he feels. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I think the cause for concern is that it has been so long that he's been on the shelf, and there's still nothing in the realm of sort of like a target date for return, or there's no reports, right? Like, there's no reports saying that he's like ramping up or that they're hoping to get him back. Like, there's just no information at all. They're keeping it pretty close to the vest. And
I mean, when you think about Mitchell Robinson, it was very similar with Mitchell Robinson, but now, you know, there are some reports. I think he may have even been, you know, his status on recent injury reports has even changed to kind of suggest that he is in the ramp-up phase. And I think the expectation now for Robinson is that he will be back certainly before the end of the regular season, if not much sooner than that. You know, like there are some that believe that he's maybe, you know, within a couple of weeks of returning. So I think that's the biggest concern for me with Randle, is that there are no whispers. There's no hypothesizing. There's really just no information other than controlled contact. We'll see how he feels tomorrow, and we'll take it from there. And I think after all this time, that's just not really a good sign.
Again, Moak Hamilton joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. So not sure exactly what the deal is with Julius Randle and when he's going to be returning. Mitch Robinson, we're hearing, hopefully will return by the end of this month. However, Tibbs came out and said, even when he does come back, he's going to come off the bench and Hartenstein is going to start. Agree or disagree with that?
Oh, 100%. 100%. You know, when a guy is out for so long, I mean, Mitchell Robinson has been out for nearly 50 games, if memory serves correctly, you're not just going to bring him back and kind of throw him back to the Wolves, right? Like, you want to ease him in. You want to give him an opportunity to kind of get his wind back and bust off some of the rust. But the other thing, Anita, is that Isaiah Hartenstein has, I mean, this guy has been magnificent. You know, he's been absolutely magnificent. And he gives you the same sort of defensive toughness as Mitchell Robinson. But the thing with him is that he sees the floor as a big man, and he's able to execute some pretty difficult passes and overall help your offense. You know, he helps the Knicks kind of maintain their floor spacing a little bit. And I mean, on any given night, you know, he's capable of giving you three or four really impressive dimes, not really yielding that much on the defensive end compared to Robinson. And then offensively, much more versatile. You know, he's a strong finisher around the basket, but he's also shown that he's capable of hitting an 8-foot hook shot. You know, he's got a little float game, you know what I mean? And then yesterday, you know, he goes 8 of 10 from the field against the Nets, and he gives you 17 high quality points. So, I mean, I think you can make the case that he might be pushing Mitchell Robinson for minutes, even if Robinson is 100% healthy. So when you have a guy like that, it does not make sense to bring Robinson back sooner than he's ready. And once he does come back, it also wouldn't make sense to rush him into the lineup and try to, you know, squeeze 30 minutes out of him, because it's just not necessary. The Knicks have proven that they have pretty decent depth in the front court. Hartenstein is obviously a part of that. So it makes all the sense in the world to sort of ease Robinson back in.
You know, you and I have had this conversation before. It's not just, you know, wanting these guys to get healthy. And of course, we haven't even touched on OG yet, out with his elbow. But also how Tibbs, and this is part of it, right? How Tibbs is going to handle the rotation, because you've got such great chemistry right now with this Knicks team. You know, one might say that this might be the best Knicks team in regard to chemistry and vibe and feel that many have seen in a long time. And you know, you don't want to screw with that. So, you know, I think, you know, we're talking about these guys getting healthy, getting back on the court, but I don't think this is going to be an easy job for Tibbs. I mean, listen, champagne problems, right? I'm sure a lot of coaches would wish for this scenario in this situation, not denying that. But, you know, he's going to earn his money, I think, in trying to figure out who to play, how long to play, when to play. But again, you know, it's part of your job being a head coach in the NBA, right?
Yeah. And it's certainly something. I mean, it's a good problem to have, just like you said. I think the reason why I wouldn't be too concerned about it, honestly, I might be more concerned about it with respect to Julius Randle than I would be with either Anunoby or Mitchell Robinson. And the main reason why is just because Anunoby and Robinson are both guys that have a long history of showing you that they can impact games positively on both ends of the floor. But you could probably argue and say more so on the defensive end. But sometimes when you look up and you look at the box score, you know, you see that either one of those guys have 14 points, and you didn't even really call a play for them on the offensive end, you know? As far as OG is concerned specifically, there are certainly concerns about his ability to stay healthy. I think it's something that really was not talked about at all post-acquisition. And, I mean, for good reason, right? Like, the Knicks were rolling. And even, you know, to this point in the season, I think that I believe they're 15-2 with him or something like that. Like, they're just a really, really impressive record with him in the lineup. So I think it's a decent enough sample size to say, like, no, when this guy is out there, you know, he makes them a better, stronger team. As far as Anunoby is concerned, I also think that he has a better-than-advertised ability to play with the ball. There are many late shot clock situations where, you know, he ends up with 6 seconds and he's able to hit a pull-up jumper on his defender, or he's able to make a dive to the basket and end up getting a layup out of a situation that looked like it was going to be, you know, a desperation heave at the end of the clock. Guys that have those kind of skills help teams in the NBA, you know, at the same time, not overly ball dominant. And he's someone who realizes that his best attribute is his perimeter defense. So I don't think you're going to really have much trouble incorporating him back into the lineup. It obviously would mean less minutes for Josh Hart, who played 44 minutes against the Nets yesterday. But I don't necessarily think that's a problem for the Knicks, right? Like, I think that Josh Hart to this point has proven that he is a team-first guy. And obviously all these guys want to play. Everyone wants to play, you know, as many minutes as they can handle, 30, 40 minutes. But if you're Josh Hart and, you know, you go back to the bench and your team is successful and you're in a role that fits you, then I think it's an easy pill to swallow. And I think that's where the team will ultimately find themselves once Anunoby is able to get back in the lineup. So if I'm Tom Thibodeau, if I'm a Knicks fan, you know, I'm not overly concerned about either one of those two guys coming back and disrupting the chemistry. If anything, I want them back because I know that they make me a deeper, stronger team and a more formidable and more difficult out in the playoffs. And if you're the Knicks, that's really what I think your main focus is.
Thibodeau, apparently reports are that he's in discussion for a contract extension, as we know, entering his fourth season. 167 wins, 139 losses, but obviously key and crucial in regard to just how great defense he really has created here in New York. I mean, not to take anything away from Brunson, but really the identity of this team is just how good they are defensively. Pretty much the under has hit for them if you do gamble quite a bit this season. Your thoughts on a contract extension and if the Knicks get it done?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll get done. You know, Tibbs referred to this as his dream job, you know, not too long ago. Well, I shouldn't say not too long. Back when he was hired, he referred to it as his dream job. And then, you know, his relationship with the front office, you know, it's well chronicled and well documented. So I see no reason why it wouldn't get done. Whether it's the right decision or not, I think that most people would look at it and say that he probably deserves the extension. And, you know, for the first time in a long time, just like you said, Anita, the Knicks have an identity. They have a nucleus. And, you know, to me, when we talk about a nucleus in the NBA, you can't really have a nucleus without a coach. So when I look at the roster and, you know, I see the Villanova guys that are obviously playing very, very well together. And then I see, you know, some young, less heralded players like Isaiah Hartenstein, like a Precious Achiuwa, that, and a Jericho Sims. I'll mention him as well. You know, when I see these guys on the roster and I see the minutes that they're giving to Thibodeau, it makes you kind of feel like they have something cooking here in New York. You know what I mean? And it's like, why would you want to upset the apple cart? Like, you know, things are going well. This team is responding to him. You have a bona fide superstar in Jalen Brunson, who I think we can anoint him as that now. In all likelihood, let me not say in all likelihood, but I do think he has a very good shot at earning an All-NBA honor. I'm not sure it's going to happen. There's obviously stiff competition at the guard spot, but he'll certainly get votes and he'll certainly be in the conversation, right? So when you have all of those different ingredients and you have a team that is somewhat improbably sitting in the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference, especially considering all the injuries the Knicks have dealt with this season, I think that it makes a lot of sense for this to be discussed now. And it would be difficult to argue if you're Tibbs' representation, it'd be difficult to argue that he has not proven that he's deserving of having this job for at least a few more years. So I do think it ultimately gets done, and I think that I'd even go one step further and say that it would be a well-deserved extension, at least at this point.
Let's end on this, looking big picture here, right? Right now, the Knicks sitting at 4 in the East. They are one game below Cleveland. They are 3 games below the Bucks. 12 games to be played. In regard to strength of schedule, by the way, I always like looking at this. The Bucks' 8th most difficult strength of schedule. The Knicks 17, Cleveland 25. Okay. The Knicks, some important games. They're hosting the Thunder, which of course we know are really good. Number one seed in the West right now. Sacramento on April 4th. They have 3 games against the Bulls, an important game against the Bucks. And then they're taking on Boston's the 3rd to last game of the season on April 11th, thinking that Boston's going to use some load management there. They do have Detroit on Monday. Let's put a W in that column right now. So in looking at their schedule and looking at the Bucks and Cleveland, you know, how confident are you that this Knicks team could end the season with the 2 seed?
Oh, with the 2? Oh, you caught I was with you the whole time. And then you came out of nowhere with the 2.
Hey, swing for the fences, boo. Swing for the fences.
I'm not mad. I mean, look, the 2 seed is going to be tough, right? Like, they're 3 behind the Bucks in the loss column for that for the number 2 seed. But to your point, they do play them, right? So, I mean, is it possible? It certainly is possible. A 4-game trip that we'll see them start. This trip starts April 5th, which I guess is like a week from Friday. But that 4-game trip, Anita, that will determine it. That will determine whether or not they actually have a shot at the 2 seed. Because if they win the games, like right now, you know, the next 3, you got Detroit, Toronto, San Antonio, right? Let's just say for argument's sake, they happen to win those 3. If they then go 3-1 on that trip, that 4-game trip a little later, including beating Milwaukee, then at that point, I would expect them to have closed the gap a little bit on Milwaukee and to have a puncher's chance at that number 2 seed. Number 3, I think, that's obviously within grasp, right? Like 1 game behind the Cavs in the lost column for the number 3 seed. But, yeah, I mean, to your bigger point, I think, yes, they're still alive. You know, they're still alive. They still have a shot at the number 2 seed. And, you know, every time somebody goes down, like the team, we didn't even talk about Miles McBride and his performance yesterday. It's like every time Thibodeau needs to find another guy on his team that can give him minutes and give him some production, it's like he's able to find it, you know. So at this point, I wouldn't really bet against these guys in any instance. I think that they've shown that they can play with anybody. And, you know, we'll see over the next, you know, 6 to 8 games. But like I said, I would certainly, if I'm thinking about the number 2 seed, I definitely have that April 7th contest against the Bucks circled on my calendar. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I try to make sure I tread water, if not do a little better than that between now and then, and put everything I got into that contest, because I think that 4-game trip right there is what's ultimately going to determine it.
Great stuff as always, Moak. Always, always great having you on with us on the weekends talking NBA. Thank you, my friends. Have a great Sunday fun day. Enjoy.
My pleasure. You take care.
You got it. Moak Hamilton, always joining us on Saturday or Sunday over the weekend, talking NBA and talking Knicks specifically. Like I said, next up for the Knicks, Monday night against Detroit, 12 games remaining. Can they, am I swinging for the fences, thinking that they could get to the 2 seed? Why not? They're only 3 games back. 12 games remaining. What's wrong with that?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
So if you didn't stay up late, shame on you. Double overtime last night with Oregon and Creighton. Creighton advancing. Man, Creighton was just drilling threes like nobody's business and then just ran away with it in the second OT. So they're just looking really good. Again, I've got them advancing to the Final Four, upsetting Purdue. So hopefully that may have just saved my horrible bracket as it stands right now. Today, 12-10, we've got Colorado going up against Marquette. Marquette favored by 4.5. I really liked Colorado. I had them beating Florida. Can they continue that run? Very similar to what we're seeing in NC State. We will find out. Utah State going up against Purdue. Utah State getting 11.5. I'm all about that. I'm on Utah State. This team is really, really good. I wouldn't be shocked if Utah State upset Purdue. Wouldn't be shocked. I'm not calling it, but I would not be shocked. FYI. 5:15, James Madison going up against Duke. Love James Madison getting the 7.5. And I'm going to take James Madison on the money line. Love this James Madison team. I think they do upset Duke today. I'm going to call that. Clemson going up against Baylor. Baylor favored by 4.5. Full disclosure, I did not have Clemson advancing over New Mexico. Joe, you and I both like New Mexico. I felt like New Mexico took too long to get hot. And they buried themselves in such a hole that they couldn't get out of. Like, I don't feel the best team won that game. I just feel like it was just a really poor start for New Mexico. Agree or disagree?
I disagree. That happens a lot with lower seeds. And a lot of people were expecting that to happen with NC State, to bury themselves early. But I do think the better team won, and I'm not a subscriber to that notion.
Okay, that's fair. Baylor is a team that just balls out. They score and they score a lot. So I'm not scared laying the 4.5 with Baylor. Grand Canyon going up against Alabama, a 12 seed going up against a 4 seed. Grand Canyon getting 5.5. Now, I picked Grand Canyon to advance in my bracket to beat St. Mary's. Joe's not quite believing me. That's okay. Joe, don't you find it interesting that this line is only 5.5 against Grand Canyon? Don't you feel that this line should be like 8.5, 9.5, something like that?
Maybe, but Bama's a team where they're a lot like Auburn. They can get hot and they'll stay hot, but their cold is colder than anybody in the country, and they can't really play defense. So if Grand Canyon keeps this close, I can't believe I'm talking about Grand Canyon.
They're 30-4 on the season. You're just not believing their conference, right?
Not believing the hype around the Antelopes. Sorry to any Grand Canyon listeners that went to that university, but I think if they can keep it close with the way that Alabama lacks on defense and really the lack of star power that Bama has, this is not the same team as last year with Alabama. I think they could get got.
Have you ever been to Grand Canyon? Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon?
No, I have not. The furthest west I've actually stepped foot out into the wilderness is Colorado.
It's pretty remarkable. I can't even imagine what it must be like going to school out there. I'd probably spend my time hiking more so than being in class. At 7:45, you got Northwestern going up against UConn. UConn favored by 13.5. No surprise there. Houston taking on Texas A&M. Houston favored by 9.5. And then San Diego State going up against Yale. Things I never thought I'd say for $500, Alex. San Diego State favored by 5.5. Now, very interesting. Did you read the leading scorer for Yale? upsetting Auburn has a internship for some, I don't know, hedge fund or investment firm here in New York City this summer. Did you see that?
Great. So he'll be all of our accountants after he just destroys San Diego State and goes up against UConn in a couple of days. That's fantastic.
Exactly. So you've got all these brainiacs going up against these potential NBA ballers and taking them down. What a great storyline, that Yale game. I tell you that. Break. When we come back, Joe Wiz is going to join us. We'll get his picks and his plays for today. Again, this tournament update presented by Schweppes. Schweppes offers above the rim refreshment. See what we did there? Proud to be a sponsor of the Big East Conference. Enjoy the madness and take a break from the hoops action with a Schweppes seltzer or Schweppes ginger ale. Make sure you do that.